Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
Or less, he shouldn't die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen? That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Here we are, Libertarian Podcast Review. We've got Mr. Euler himself, Andy, and Tyler. Hang on, Andy. Episode 118. We're back at it. We're going to be rich women from rich men. I don't know. We're going to tell you some playoff of this thing. Andy, how you doing? Welcome.
Doing well, you know. Reporting live from the plantation here. sunny skies. Cold lemonade on the front porch, you know.
I do know. So we've already got people in the chat.
Hell
yeah. They're gonna tire this shit. It feels like Friday to me because I'm not gonna work tomorrow. So how do you feel? I know you feel hungover, so it feels like a Monday to you, or just any day of the week, right?
Man, I had a good time last night. I went and saw AEW wrestling downtown, and you know, I don't know if the food fucked me up or the beverages fucked me up or just a combination of both, but they did a number on me today, but I picked a good day to come into work a little fucked up. So,
you know what a good thing is for a hangover? Fox and Sons coffee.
Yeah.
And if you put in the promo code review, you get 15% off any orders over $25 or more. Andy, did you have coffee for your hangover?
No, but I need some Fox and Sons coffee, so okay. Send a bag.
I'll send you a bag. I can't promise if it's full, but I'll send you a bag.
Drop your bag on my face.
Dickie's in the chat. He said he got effed up last night. That's good. Who else is here? I started by saying Andy was late, of course, and then I had to delay anyway, so it didn't really matter. Boy chasing that bag. See, he's already
busy
knows what's
chasing
going on.
That bag.
Whatever. Oh, busy. Yeah, I was looking at the next thing. Type peepee for patiently pondering. Travis in the thing, and we got Magoo here saying, "What up? What up, everybody?"
We got a lot to talk about this evening. Mainly Nick. I mean, libertarians.
That was a fascinating. So, did you get into the libertarian space last night with Dave, the LPNH, and all that?
I only got to hear a little bit of it.
Oh, because you were wrestling.
Like, yeah, I was at wrestling, so. I didn't tune in for very long, but I heard a few little choice highlights today.
Yeah, there was, I we'll talk about this in a little bit.
There was one this morning too, right?
Yeah. So then it was like a follow-up, and this one was by Maj Torre. That's a ridiculous name. He went in there and by the way, the topic itself kind of bores me. I mean, it's kind of what it is. I get it. I get the both sides of the argument there. But the heated debate over it last night was absolutely insane, and it was fantastic. So as a merchant of destruction myself, it was good. And I got in there and was able to talk right away.
Oh, you by were? The way, hell yeah. I missed that.
Right. So I had it all planned, and then it was like a surprise. And then I was sitting outside and I was going to say, and I started by saying, look, Maj's speech at Reno was one of the best there, but Kaufman gave me pizza. So I'm kind of at a torn. And then I was going to say, but then Maj went over and he started dox someone at the Super Bowl. And then the reparations, and I just didn't want to get on board with that. I didn't say that part, but I just basically said, look, I understand where you guys are coming from about all this, and you say it just doesn't, this edgelord stuff doesn't work, but we have the shit poster in chief, Donald Trump, who showed you can be above and beyond on the things, and it seemed to work for them. So, and I've been in a bunch of spaces with, GOP types, they are, because the whole thing is like, you're turning everyone off, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, that's not the case. So what do you have to say about this? And Dave came back and was basically like, look, this doesn't work for us. And I think that's a perfectly fine answer to come back on. Then someone else on Twitter, because I was like, you know, oh, shit posting, isn't it? Let me introduce you to Trump. And so then they're coming back with some other counter arguments. Oh, well, Trump was never, he never said anything like, you know, go back to Africa. And I'm like, grab him by the pussy, shithole country, blood coming out anywhere. Why don't you just stick to the fact that this won't work for the LP? Don't say Trump didn't do these things because, or what to this degree, because he sure as hell did.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the back and forth. It was, you know, two Jews kvetching over a darkie was pretty great for me. It was interesting to hear them like bitching and moaning about donor dollars and shit. And then, you know, I mean, nothing has worked for the LP since its inception. Like, when, what is considered success for the LP? Like 4% of the vote, and then like they want, what do they want? Like, they salivate over this like black vote that they're not gonna get. And they're like, but Maj has the end to the black vote, and but who cares?
No, yeah, it's a dynamic, and it's been, look, and part of it, let me just go over a few things. Michael Heiss, I love you, but if you can't say Thomas Sowell correctly, I don't know what to do. You kept calling it Thomas Sowell, and then Meredith is like, oh, it's his accent from Philly. And I'm like, no. The guy's literally never heard him talk or be introduced. No big deal. It's just his age. And if I can't mock these people, then what else do I have?
Yeah. Maj does the same thing. He calls him Sowell.
It's not.
I heard him on, who was that? Jason Whitlock's show. And Maj was going after Matt Walsh about something Matt Walsh said about, it was something in the context of slavery about, I can't remember, it was several months ago, but on the same topic. And it's just, you know, he's very racially sensitive.
So look, have you heard Walter Block talk about reparations? You know, he's got a book, Defending the Undefendable, right?
A little bit, but I would disagree. Yeah, but I would definitely disagree with his position on reparations.
Walter Block's?
Yes.
Well, what is it? You just said you haven't heard it.
I mean, I've heard some of it, but I've heard him talk about it in like lectures and stuff. So I haven't like sat down and read it.
And so then Maj is trying to go over it today, and he's trying to kind of explain. He just references other people. He didn't say Block, but he references other people about why his stance on it is the correct one. My pushback on all of this is, and even the way Walter Block explains it, I don't believe it's reparations. It's simply under property. And his thing is, look, if something was actually taken from you, you should have a right, inheritance, whatnot, to go and get your property back because it wasn't done under bona fide purchaser for value. It's just, and I believe that, and that's correct. And you can do that civilly. It should be done regardless of race. The problem is reparations is only, I'm a black man, and therefore I have this ability to do so. And I think it should be just, it doesn't matter. So change the word reparations, call it something else, do it in an appropriate way. But the problem with Madge is it's a black centric restitution, which I don't believe is helpful, right, at all.
Well, I mean, it's just a revealed preference, you know?
Yeah.
Madge is a black guy. He's looking out for black man number one, long-legged Mac daddies. And,
Well, first of all, I mean, what's Walter Williams' take? By the way, it's Walter E. Williams, his take on reparations. Well, he's passed, but he posted it on his website. It was a certificate of forgiveness, basically wiping off all obligations for whites towards blacks. So I believe that would be his thing. He's like, you're done and over. I've waived it. Go on about your lives. You're done.
Yeah, Sowell and Walter Williams aren't on the reparations train. As far as I know, I mean, you can start trying to untie the Gordian knot that is, you know, the history of state oppression and repaying restitution to everyone, or you can just move on.
Right. I mean, there's all, look, I don't want to really get into all of that. Here's a problem I did have. One, Dave is very good at what he does. You may not agree with his summation or his results, but he's very good. And even when he gets heated, he's very good at stating his point. Okay. And I don't know if that's because he comes from the streets and he's got a lot of this, or this back and forth, the comedian. Jeremy is, he knows his stuff well as also, but I thought he did a shit job of defending himself because he just went ad hominem and he just ripped on Maj, which is fun. But if you're going to make an argument and you're going to get on Spaces, you've got to be better at doing so than just he's gay. No, it was fun, and we'll play a clip here. But you know, so that would, to me, was disappointing.
Yeah, so I didn't hear much of it. I did hear a little bit of the Jeremy calling Maj a bitch and going calling Dave a bitch.
Well, let's play that one. I think we'll get to that one. And by the way, I thoroughly, like I said, it was entertaining to me. And I don't have a problem with the Libertarian Party. I would say this, as someone who advises people all day long, my clients, I'm always telling them, you know, watch out what you're putting on social media. It's going to come back and bite you. I wouldn't put the kind of stuff I do under my business name because it's representing my law partner as well. I mean, it's bad enough that I do this. but so I totally get that stance. It's a professional organization. You know, you can make up something else. Maybe the Meacocks would be, you know, of LPNH or would be better than just the LP. The affiliate there. So I get everyone's points on this, but I also have to say this was how one thing was sold, which is, hey, we're going to take over. Then we're going to give the keys to the ultimate troll, Michael Malice. And he's going to just rip everybody from the LP's own Twitter account. And then they don't like what this little thing. So that didn't, would you see this struggle session in his Spaces with Michael Malice if he had been actually given the keys to the Twitter? Do you think that would happen?
Probably not. I think it's interesting too, like the perspective, like, oh, the LPNH is ruining our what we got going here. We're trying to grow the voter base and donors and all this shit. And it's like, how is the LPNH preventing you from doing that? Like, can you show any demonstrable like proof of that other than just people reading online? Or is it just right. Like, what's stopping you from going out and recruiting people if that's what you want to do?
But, and by the way, I'm sure it happens those people are never being genuine, and they're disingenuous when they say things like they would never be a libertarian, but then they're like, this is what's keeping me from being a libertarian. And they point them out. Right. So they would never be. So
if you guys aren't Kamala Harris Democrats, then I'm not going to be a libertarian. It's like, right. Okay, then go be a Kamala Harris Democrat. Right, right.
And by the way, I don't want to get into that too much. So let's play this clip here, because I thought this was one fantastic or interesting. Let's go here. So someone did record. By the way, someone did record like 90 minutes of it. So let me know if you can't hear this, Andy.
Things we believe.
All right, Michael, you respond.
Well, no, hang on. No one is hiding anything. And I'm the guy who got endorsed by Ron Paul and took over the Libertarian Party, like on the back of the Ron Paul.
Okay, this is the wrong one, because this is the entire recording, so I blew that one. So let me see if I can find this.
There was a lot of dicks.
There we go.
I want you to have a chance to respond to what Maj says. I want everyone
to... No, it's a bitch move. He said one thing on social... No, Dave, you're being a bitch now. He said things very unequivocally. We have screenshots. Jeremy, it's not debatable. Jeremy, don't be a Peter Hotez bitch.
Hold on, dude.
What are his claims? Let him state them.
Jeremy, don't tell me I'm being a fucking bitch.
This is
because
right.
I just said, let me hear you are, Jeremy though. Talk. What? Say what you just said, Jeremy.
You are being a bitch when you enable bitch behavior.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Jeremy, is that I think you don't fucking understand the code that guides men. Like, I do.
And it's men can have open conflict. Men don't take screenshots and make claims and are unable to have a direct conversation. I know men, Dave. I lead men. I live in a male atmosphere. Maz behaves like a hysterical, feminine bitch. He cannot have a direct conversation.
Let me tell you something, dude.
He makes ridiculous claims.
Jeremy, now you fucking force me to mute everybody. And listen, Jeremy, I was literally just saying I want to hear from you, dude, and I want to hear what you have to say, and I want you to be able to respond to what Maj says. So I just want both of you to be able to talk. And then you call me a fucking bitch, and when I say you don't understand man code, I'm saying, dude, that if you fucking – this is where you'll claim some non-aggression principle violation. But, like, dude, Jeremy, you wouldn't say that if me and you were standing in a room right now. You wouldn't, because if you say that, then we have to fucking fist fight. So let me just say, instead of that, I was saying, let me make sure you can say what you want to say. So let Maj talk, and then I want you to be able to respond. And if you think that makes me a bitch for saying that, then go fuck yourself and you can fucking leave this call right now.
Okay. Say whatever you like. I said, whatever you want to say about Dave. Oh, hey, that's a too close up. He does like that. That I thought that was perfectly well said. And by the way, I've met Jeremy. And if I can just put in he and Dave together, the only thing that Jeremy's fought is probably mortgage rates. And Dave's probably fought, so I don't want to see that fight happen because Jeremy's going to get his ass handed to him. So, and he better be carrying a knife.
Well, I don't know. Dave's pretty brittle boned, tall, skinny guy.
True, he doesn't drive a car. I don't know what that has to do with it. No, but
Tyler,
I think
I just want to go on record and say that you're a bitch.
Wait. Yeah, whatever. Like, I care. But it did get it. This is the kind of shit it was supposed to be. I think this kind of like, hey, we'll talk, we're going to work it out. And then it devalued its way into this. So fantastic evening.
I just picture like spit flying from Jeremy's mouth, like when he's saying this. And just like shaking. You're a bitch, Dave.
Well, it just wasn't productive in that sense, right? I mean, it didn't come through just the way I thought it would be.
Me and great.
So anyway, let me stop that one so you don't hear all that. Was there anything more I wanted? So Maj came. Look, he comes on there and then he is actually mellow, and it came across as Jeremy was autistic and crazy and Maj was this reasonable person. It's part of the optics of being able to do this, right? And I know Jeremy's been in court, he's been whatever, he's had attorneys do whatever stuff, he's been high profile. It was just disappointing to me to see. And the only one that was good and rational on that other side was Reed Coverdale. He did a good job.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and listen to some more of it.
Right.
It's interesting. I think there was some shots across the bow, right, about Clint being the most influential podcaster or whatever. But, I mean, all this comes down to, like, optics cucking, right? Like, do you care about optics? Like, these people, progressives hate you. They're going to call you a racist anyways. Who fucking cares? Like, is it that big of a deal? You're really trying to win. But this is the problem with like libertarian activism in general that I see, is that like you're trying to win hearts and minds and like be an evangelical libertarian instead of just leading by example and doing cool shit and not giving a fuck about what other people think.
Right. Right. I mean, we could talk about Josie not getting her bottom teeth fixed.
Was that part of the topic of the conversation in there?
No, she got on there later, and I was just like, gun to the head. And actually, Dave is so good that even when he's riled up like this, Josie comes in there and she starts to say something. Then she pauses. She goes, "I'm sorry, did you hear that? I mean, saying." And Dave's like, "Why is a woman talking?"
I heard that part.
I'm like, okay, that's solid. So anyway, nothing really got resolved at all. So once again, I I'm involved in the Libertarian Party, partly because nothing's going to get resolved in the Republican Party or the Democrats. So if I'm going to even just play around, might as well play around in something that I actually enjoy and believe in a little bit more. And it's a little bit more fun, right? You can get a little bit more notoriety than you can in the other ones. I'm not some sort of – look, to be a Republican, you've got to be like former CIA something, Jack Posobiec. Total cuck, or you've got to be like some sort of minority that's come out of the woodwork, Dave Rubin, Ramaswamy, or someone, Thomas Sowell, but he's at least legit. I don't know. So what do you got to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, Republicans love their pandering too,
right?
But I mean, at the end of the day, libertarians play like little league politics. Like, they can't even keep up with Republicans, and the Republicans are destined to lose too. So Do you think they're even bigger losers than the Republicans?
JC says, do you think if there was a hot female moderator, they would have been embarrassed to act this way? Jeremy doesn't give a shit. He's married. I've seen his, you know, he looks like a lumberjack from the 90s. He doesn't really care. So I don't think that would
we're talking about libertarians here. Like,
right. they yeah. Okay. Let's get into something a little bit more. Let's talk here about Richmond,
north of Richmond.
Oh yeah. Whatever it is. I don't remember. what's the guy's name? Oliver Anthony or Anthony Oliver. It's two first names. It's a horrible idea. What's going on with you gingers?
I don't know. I like the song. I thought it was pretty good. Dude's got a good voice. I mean, it's interesting. He's definitely tapping into some like populism. You know what I mean? Waiting to see, like, obviously there's a big buzz on the internet about it, but they're not talking about it on Good Morning America, are they? Like, I think they're trying to sweep this one under the rug.
Possibly. So I don't know. So could be. Let's take a look here. So I didn't read this article. Maybe I should look at it, but National Review says next time Oliver Anthony should consider singing about what makes America a great land, a land of opportunity, not of guaranteed success, a land made for you and me. And then so I just put on there, hey, write your own damn song. Because it seems
well, he got a free background check out of going viral, too. So it seems like. You know, he for the most part, he seems like our guy. There is something that came out today. He's going to be doing a show with some commies. And as much as I loathe commies and hate them, I think some of them have impulses that are like, you know, towards the working class. All their solutions and prescriptions are ass backwards. But, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm not interested in trying to convert them or whatever, but. Seems like maybe this guy might be on some like unity stuff, but he's also pretty religious too. So he opened up his show with quoting scripture and shit. And
look, this okay. So who are some of your? I know you like country, but there's got to be singers or groups you like that when you find out their politics, you go ugh, right? Or maybe you find out their politics and you go, oh, cool. Morgan Wallen. I mean, he's raping like 15-year-old girls right and left. You probably did I say it on?
He's very. Well, then why isn't he the LP nominee?
He's coming on. So my point is, let's just talk about music. This happens. Look, Toad is a great guy in our group chat to have a conflict with. He's got an idea about something and you can't deviate from it. And when you do, it breaks his brain. Music is one of those, right? And I'm like, I'm very open in this. I'm like, music is so personal. You can like some ridiculous music. For some reason, it you know, the Pina Colada song. Rupert Holmes. I love that song. It's the dumbest song ever, but it's a catchy tune. And it's I remember it from when I was a kid. And it's just, so anyway, there's music and music speaks to you personally. When I first heard this song, I didn't really care about the lyrics. I was like, there's a catch in there with some of the way that the tune is. And I was just like Old Soul. I like that caught me as far as words go, but my wife was really good on lyrics. She can like do karaoke, like, whatever. She's perfect with it. I don't know the lyrics. I just know who wrote the songs and I like catchy tunes. And this was a tune that I really enjoyed like right away. It just caught me. I was like, this is good. I solid from a music point of view. And I love all those reaction videos. And it's a bunch of black guys going and hearing this and you're like, oh, they're going to hate him because he's white. No, they're like loving it. Why? Because they just care about the music. That's all it is.
And yeah, I love the niche black guy reaction videos on YouTube. There's a huge, like millions and millions of views, like black guy reacts to hearing Thomas Sowell or Walter E. Williams for the first time.
Well,
like,
that guy specifically, he does. I know which one you're talking about. I'm trying to remember his name, but I've checked him out because he's listened to like Jethro Tull, and he's like, you know, flute, but it's like it's catchy and it's talent, and you like it, and yeah, I like those two. So,
yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good song. I mean, this is like my kind of music that I'm into. A good friend of mine I grew up with is
Job Travis.
Benjamin Todd is in Lost Dog Street Band, and it's like pretty similar stuff. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, Americana stuff was kind of blowing up. It's starting to die out now, but it's a like I've shot the red carpet at the Americana Music Awards, and been involved in that industry and know a bunch of people in it, and they're like some of the most backstabbing, conniving people, and a bunch of them are leftists, and they're just like coffee shop retards, but there are some good ones that are still like down home. Like I said, Lost Dog Street Band, Tyler Childers, you know, used to be sort of in that vein, but you know, there is a complex of people who make it who just completely turn their back on the people that they claim to have reverence for or represent and stuff like that. So, I mean, we'll see what direction this guy goes, if they get to him, if he, you know, gives an inch to these people or how things go.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm excited. Dude's got a good voice. Sounds good. And he's tapped into something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And look, it was interesting because then some people are like, oh, he's promoting commie shit. Not the fact that he was doing this interview, but like the lyrics. And I it's populism. And you know what? Are you out there doing this with the Dixie Chicks and everyone else to make sure that they're pure every which way? No, it's just like, just let this go. It is funny because I'm like, oh, Daily Wire is going to be all over this. Jeremy's Hick Music is coming out next or something. You know, he's going to, I just hate them. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for all of Daily Wire's faults, they kind of know what they're tapped into. Like, they didn't move their headquarters from LA to DC. They moved it from LA to Nashville, you know what I mean? So they're kind of tapped in, and you know, I think they may try to get this guy to apologize on some Israel shit, but they can only hold the dam back, you know, hold the water back so long.
Well, yeah, so let's talk about that real quick, and then we're gonna go, actually someone had mentioned in here, and I already had a plan, we're gonna read the Reason article here about it. Or you can read it because you're better at this than me. But someone found his playlist and they're like, truther. But then you look through the truther stuff and it's just news clips of like actual like dancing Israelis. It's like an ABC news report about it. I was like,
yeah,
okay. What's your point? Do you like the ABC? I don't know.
Yeah. And another thing is too, like, I understand, anytime we get like a pop culture figure that we think may be on our side, the right wing skepticism, like, it sends off alarm bells, and I totally get that. Like, so many of these people turned out to be like Pied Pipers and just subversive. So, I mean, I understand that impulse, but for the most part, it seems like this dude's our guide. It seems like a good old boy. You know,
let's read what Benzo Hoots Barbie said here. People are writing songs like this across the nation on a daily basis. Why'd this guy blow up? He's an op. It's an op. That's what she said. And you know what? That's such a cop out for libertarian. I don't know. You've been hanging around Toad too much here. And then the reason I say bullshit is because it was a decent tune. This wasn't.
If they're writing songs this good and they sound that good, then they should be blowing up. I mean,
yeah,
they would be doing it if they could, but they're not. So right. I don't believe
you. You look back at the days of how music was done. I just saw this whole thing about Loverboy. I don't know if you know who that group was, but one of their songs didn't. It went pretty high, but it didn't blow up completely because there was an issue with how the music was being, you know, out to DJs. I mean, it was so structured about getting your music. You sign with a label, then that label has people that pay money to DJs and you know, radio stations to get your music. It's not totally like that anymore.
Pay to play. Yeah. You can just throw up a song and people like it.
And it's hard to have this happen. So somehow, you know, we're, as is a black-pilled Barbie going on here. It's just called Hooters Barbie. I sure as hell did.
So the original uploader of the video was like a radio West Virginia something. And I mean, it was shot well and it sounded well. I mean, it was well produced and it seemed like somebody was kind of tuned into what this guy was doing already.
It's similar people. If you look at that guy's website, because I thought first it was his website, but it wasn't. And he's got another song on there. And then there's other people. So it's a bunch of West Virginian. Hey, what's up, Emma? Bunch of West Virginia talent. Kind of. Sometimes they're all in the same spot. So I think this isn't Anthony's land, as an example. I don't think that's his property that he's recording on. I think it's this guy's property.
Yeah. And I mean, this dude is a singer, songwriter, musician. He probably, you know, hangs out with other singer songwriter musicians and is kind of tuned into like what's going on. He's from Virginia. He's probably right there on the corner of Virginia, West Virginia, and
yeah, And by the way, Benzo Barbie, she says, for what it's worth, Toad doesn't agree with me on this, LOL. That should never be your standard. Just say, I don't care. Okay, let's take a look at this. Do you want to read this, or do you want me to?
I can read it.
Can you read it from there, or do you want me to?
I can read it. Let's scroll up to the headline. We'll start it off.
By the way, before you go there, I saw them post this on Twitter, and I I said something like, I don't remember what I said. Something about, you know, mocking them for Dixie chicks. You can complain about them now or something. I have to actually find it. But what did you didn't read this either, but you commented.
Yeah, I replied. I found the author's Twitter page and I cussed him out pretty good and got blocked. And then someone else for a reason came in and said something about, you're pretty worked up about something, Tyler, some off-brand Tyler Childers or something. And I mean, these dudes would suck a fart out of Tyler Childers' gay ass. Like, they just want their country boys to, like, have progressive values and make up tranny coal miner fanfic. It's just bullshit. Like,
yeah, completely.
It's all fake. They're okay. Not tapped into, like, what average people are doing, because these are, like, urbanite bubble people.
Anyway, so like I said, music is also personal too. Why do you care? Let's. So anyway, the point is, we commented before we read the article. I still haven't read the article. We're gonna do it here, and I'm gonna see if we are wrong or right. And everyone out here, you know, on the chat and in there, you know, listening and watching this, let us know what you think. I'm assuming, because this is kind of the premise, which is, oh my God, the right wing is so stupid for hating the Dixie Chicks in the 90s and the 80s, whenever it was, 2000, and when the Iraq War, and now, but now it's okay to mock singers for being political. So anyway, that's my thing.
Emma really likes this song, by the way. I played it for her.
Yeah.
All right, so my initial bias before I start reading is that this is just engagement bait. These people have no lives, and they latch on to whatever is going on in the culture. And
wait, you're talking about this show?
I'm talking about the Reason article.
Oh, like the, well, because it applies here as well. Okay, anyway, keep going.
We're just having fun. All right, fun, silly, anti-tax ballad, Richmond, north of Richmond, goes viral for some online reasons. We don't get it. If you don't take Oliver Anthony's surprise hit song too seriously, it's a lot of fun. Regrettably, a lot of people are taking the song too seriously indeed, by Christian Britschke.
What does taking it serious mean, though? I mean, come on.
All right. The internet, or at least most online right-wing corners of it, is abuzz about the hit new song Richmond, north of Richmond, from heretofore unknown country folk singer Oliver Anthony. Released late last week, the song features a solo Anthony on his guitar as he belts out with great sorrow and personal hurt, lyrics complaining about the falling value of the dollar, the heavy burden of taxation, welfare recipients' purchase of junk food, and the sex trafficking shenanigans of Jeffrey Epstein.
So far, so good. Yeah, I like it.
And then they've got his tweet up there. Give me a scroll down.
Do you want to see that at all? Or do you want to go further?
Is it the whole song? Or is it, you want me to just read the tweet?
Yeah, read the tweet. We're not going to play it.
All right. From Oliver Anthony himself, his Twitter, Richmond, north of Richmond, has been uploaded to all major streaming platforms and will show up there in a few days. I'm still in a state of shock at the outpouring of love I've seen in the comments. Messages and emails. I'm working to respond to everyone as quickly as possible. Like, this dude seems like just an actual person.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, cause there's like 13 million views on YouTube last I looked, which was earlier this week. Could you imagine, like, you're just out there, you're a regular dude, and suddenly someone finds it. They start pushing it out. Joe Rogan pushes it out, and it's suddenly millions and millions of views. I could not imagine what would happen to you or I if that was the case. Scary shit.
My background check would, I'd never be able to get a job. All right. These ills and many others can be blamed, as the title suggests, on those rich men north of Richmond and their totalitarian aspirations. Quote, Lord knows they all just want to have total control, want to know what you think, want to know what you do. And they don't think you know, but I know that you do.
Damn,
anti-elitism. I know. Anti-elitism is the most novel sentiment for a folk country song. Still, some genuinely funny lines. I wish politicians would look out for miners and not just miners on an island somewhere. And if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Made funnier still by Anthony's incongruously soulful performance, ad life, and originality to the song's generic populism. Sure, one might quibble with the idea that food stamps are primarily responsible for driving up taxes and inflation, even if they are spent on fudge rounds, but the song's not meant to be a white paper. If you don't take it too seriously, you can have fun and a lighthearted time jamming out to the surprise viral hit. But why am I not allowed to take it seriously?
Yeah, let's analyze a few things here. It really, the thing that catches me about these first three lines here, the total control, just it's an authoritarian type of thing. And then it says anti-elitism. It didn't say anything about elitism there. It's you can be a country bumpkin in Congress, AOC, MTG, any of the, Joe Biden. I don't necessarily call them elite. I guess it's elite as far as what they are, not necessarily their mentality, but it's more of a, people in up there, the government is controlling you. Is that an elitism take, or is that just an anti-authoritarian take?
Well, that speaks to some of the like philosophical underpinnings of like what Yankee progressivism is. You know, I mean, the whole thing. If you've read Progressive Era and you know you kind of study some of the history of this stuff, is that they have to preempt your decision making. So, I mean, there is some truth to that, but. But that's what makes it a good song, is because there's truth.
Right. Okay. And then the last thing I want to say here is funny lines, you know, like these are good lines, but it doesn't talk about, is he saying that this is driving what's driving inflation? Or is he just saying, I wish politicians didn't give such a shit about all this welfare stuff and looked out for the little guy. Right. And for me, yeah. I mean, we can all, this is what's great. You ever go and you hear a song, you're like, oh, I want to know what that's all about. And you're like, you know, what's it mean? And there's all kinds of things. It's going to be stupid, but the song Yellow by Coldplay, people have had all kinds of interpretations. And then they've asked, what is his name? Chris Martin or whatever. And he's like, I don't know. It meant nothing. It was a color. And it literally meant nothing. So you have philosophical issues about this, and the person that penned it is like, I don't give a shit. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that if you're a hardworking 9-to-5 guy and you're paying taxes and you're struggling to make ends meet, and they're hitting you from both ends with inflation and taxation, and you see somebody who's living on the dole, eating fudge rounds and obese, you're probably not going to take too kindly to that person, because you're like, my taxes go to pay for this? Like, of course, it's going to create animosity between you.
Right. I mean, think of the COVID stuff where they're getting, you know, all kinds of money thrown. Or even now, it's like Ukraine. They're just over there partying. I see all those pictures, those girls in bikinis. They're getting billions of dollars.
Get that bag.
Anyway, go ahead. Keep reading from Regrettably.
Regrettably, people have begun to take the song much too seriously indeed. Rolling Stone notes that the song has been a hit with much of the online right, which has treated the song as this generation's ballad for the forgotten man. Conservative personality Matt Walsh praised it for supposedly injecting some flesh and blood beauty into this sterile world. Quote, the main reason this song resonates with so many people isn't political. It's because the song is raw and authentic. We are suffocated by artificiality. He wrote on X, formerly Twitter.
Okay, so let me, two things there. Maybe I'm misunderstanding your whole article here, but it looks like to me, I mean, look, he takes on the left and the right of like saying this is it's the most horrible thing ever, or it's the ballad of our times, right? It's our battle cry, which I could see Matt Walsh doing because stupid. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, Matt Walsh somehow is on the right side of this, despite him being like an urbanite, like LARPing as a man.
you know what it is? It's what did I just see today? And I love the guy. It's Pat Gray of the Blaze, Pat and Stu, and whatever. He just he put out something. I'm trying to remember what it is, but it was something about being unpatriotic for something. And I'm like, this is exactly what the left was saying about you at one point. So it's all dependent, and it's kind of a grift, right? It's easy to say, to point it to your audience, oh, they're unpatriotic or whatever it is. And that's what Matt Walsh, he just stumbles into the right thing here. It just happens to be something that he's okay with. But if you push him too much, it is a Southerner.
Yeah, and he's got dancing Israeli videos. So we know who cuts his checks.
Right. Right. How soon until Daily Wire goes, whoa, this, we don't, what, you know, he was a ginger. We should have known all along. Okay.
Yeah, until he's like, Judeo, what? No, I'm just a Christian.
Okay. What is this, Matt Walsh? Do you want to read that?
The main, well, it's just what I just read. It's a, okay. It's a, his tweet that they quoted from. Okay, over at The Federalist, Samuel Mangold Linnet describes the song as a haunting, bittersweet lamentation for an America that existed not too long ago but may never exist again, and one that, quote, depicts a deep yearning to return to a version of America in which people are not plagued by existential, economic, and cultural woes every moment of the day. The Love Fest is not an exclusively right-wing affair either. Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut, sees within the lyrics a, quote, path to realignment. Now that rural voters' hearts have been laid bare by the song, they can be won back over to progressive politics.
Okay, I don't know if you want to read that tweet.
Chris Murphy, Connecticut. I think progressives should listen to this in part because it's just a good tune. B, but also because it shows the path of realignment. Anthony sings about the soullessness of work, shit wages, and the power of the elites. All problems the left has better solutions to than the right. Okay. This shit's such a joke. I wish we had right wingers in DC. There's like maybe one or two. All right. Back to the article. Perhaps this reaction is what one might expect for a song with lyrics that are themselves a little too online, whatever that means.
I don't know.
Nevertheless, people need to get a grip. Contra Walsh, the right-wing meme politics running through the lyrics is exactly why the song resonates with people. If the song were instead an authentic recounting of getting drunk or being unemployed, the track probably would have gotten about as much attention as Anthony's earlier releases. But it's like these guys don't understand they're like making a counterfactual. They're making their own counterfactuals. All right.
Sad country songs. Explain what you mean by that.
So like what would have happened if he just wrote about getting drunk? It's like you don't know that because dude's got a great voice. Like you never know when somebody's going to pop. You know what I mean? When their time is, especially for a talented musician or artist, like what is going to be their break? You know, yeah, if this song wouldn't have done it, what would have? Probably nothing.
What's so stupid is, have you ever heard of this guy? He's called the Professor of Rock. It's got a really big YouTube. So what he does, it's like usually 30 minutes. He talks to everybody. He's interviewed like everybody. He's basically my age, 50. And so a lot of the stuff he does, but he'll break down sometimes why a song went, he calls it lightning in a bottle rather than one hit wonders. But sometimes it's just songs about little things that happen. And it's like a little quirk happened. A great example. I'm trying to remember the song he was just talking about where, I think it was a Cure where they, Friday. I'm in love. Yeah, that song, which was a big hit, but he accidentally sped it up. When they were playing, doing some playback, which changed the key it was in, and it changed the entire song from kind of being dark Cure like to a poppy song, and just a happenstance. Things just happen sometimes, right? And weird things do. And this guy just happened to have a great voice, be out in the country, and singing a song that resonates at this time. And then, as Poppy, Barbie would say in here, he's an op. So the CIA.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what reason is arguing, like, what the point of this article is for to, like, oh, actually, don't write about things. Don't make music that's topical and resonates with the current time. Like, just write about bullshit that no one cares about and stay nobody forever. because we're Reason Magazine.
Right. I mean, there's anti-war, especially, what was the place up in New York, 1969, the big fiesta that everyone had and they got drunk and da da da. It was all a lot of anti-war songs. I mean, it resonates because that is just what the times dictated and things, were important. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Sad country song speaking to poverty and social anomie. I don't know how to say that word. Anomie? Didn't start with food stamps and Epstein didn't kill himself memes. Something tells me that the people who kept cold country folk songs like Which Side Are You On alive had some economic and cultural anxieties as well. And the fact that Anthony has the musical equipment and technology necessary to sound good and reach a mass audience from his backyard suggests the times we live in aren't so lean after all. And while it gives me no pleasure to burst the bubble on Murphy's working class realignment, not every song sung by a sad guy with a guitar is a window into the soul of blue-collar America. The Epstein lyrics probably should have made that clear. All right, so... this dude just... they just hate this guy for writing this song, is what it is, is what it sounds like. It's like... you have TV, so you have a TV and air conditioning, so why are you complaining? It's like, I can't afford a house. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, gas is $5, you know what I mean? Like, we might be more materially wealthy, but that doesn't mean culturally we're better off. It doesn't mean that the money is, like, growing in value. Sure, it's great to live in a country that has material wealth, but, could it be better? Yeah. Are people getting, sent to the meat grinder because of the decisions made in D.C.? Absolutely.
Yeah. Last line there, or last paragraph.
Still, just because Matt Walsh and Chris Murphy like the rich men north of Richmond doesn't mean you shouldn't. Like other pieces of right-wing musical media, think MAGA rap. It's catchy and fun. It's even more fun when you don't take it that seriously.
Okay. So what's your impression of this? Is this this shitting on the guy? Because I actually have a little bit different feeling about it than when I first read the headline and just shit on him online.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just DC apologensia, right? Like, actually, the guys in DC make sure that you have a smartphone. It's like, okay, I have a smartphone, but everything around me is crumbling. My jobs are being, the factory I used to work at got outsourced. Just like, are you guys paying attention? Do you even care? But this is like, that's how they make their money. These guys write blogs and articles and some people actually have to go to work and actually have something to sing about or talk about.
Right. So much like what this guy is professing, I don't take his article that seriously either. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
The part of this is I do see his point. And look, to his credit, I imagine it's a he. I don't know, wrote like a woman. But what I would take at face value is, look, the left, it takes it too serious. The right, the left, mocks it like Rolling Stone comes out. And of course, you expect that. But then the right gloms onto it like it's the new anthem. Like I said, the new anthem of our time with some sort of war cry. And the reality is it's a song. Now, it hits everyone differently. And the protest movement for the Vietnam War, the music was an instrumental part of that. I mean, you can't help but look back and see all the great songs that were written, whether you like them or not. But there's good songs in there. And then you see, like, the right can't do that. They can't duplicate that. So when they do get a guy that suddenly is kind of on their side and he writes something, it reminds me of you get a comedian that's half-assed, and the right loves him. They think it's the funniest thing ever. And you're like, no, it's not. Or, oh, we're going to put out a movie, right? We're going to put out a right-wing movie. And they put it out and you're just like, okay, that was painful. Or the Libertarians with Alongside Night comes out with that. What and is Adam that? Kulkashin, are you serious? You don't know this story?
No.
Is it Adam? Is it Samuel Konkin, I don't know. It was a good book. It was a good story. And then they decided to make it into a movie. And they did. And Kevin Sorbo played the main part in there.
Hercules?
Yeah. And Adam Kokesh is in there with a speech. It's one of the worst actors. I mean, Kevin Sorbo, poor guy. He's the only one you could like, oh, there's an actor. Oh, and what the fuck is going on with everyone else? It was so bad. It was horrible. It looked like some, you know, kids did it. Anyway, that my point is that, you know, libertarian or look, the right even did this, you know, Ayn Rand, they're going to come out with Atlas Shrugged and they make a 3-part series of that. And, you know, I bought the CDs and I watch them. And I'm like, oh, this is a disappointment. This is a disappointment. Anyway, just tell me. As Magoo says, everything Jack Lloyd does. All
right. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good song. But this is my kind of music anyways. And it's weird to see like people who would generally shit on this music pretending to like it. And then people who are on the right wing who are skeptical and think it's op or like think it's the best thing since sliced bread. But I mean, I think it's good. It kind of captures the moment of where we're at now and definitely populist vibes going through the song and it's cool.
Yeah, I agree. Once again, I listened to it and lyrics aside, I thought the tune was catchy. I loved his voice. He did a really good job. You know, the downfall is he's a redhead. I mean, what are you going to do? So it feels like it's coming from the devil.
The South is going to do it again, Tyler. I'll tell you that much.
All right. Well, 50 minutes in here. What about, you got anything else? I have this, let me maybe put it out to everyone or you, Andy. We've got this animal control police officer citing this guy for having dogs, and she's dog shit. There's a little video of that. We have this other cop shooting thing. I don't know if you saw that in the group chat, the cop shooting this Syrian mm-hmm. guy. We could go over that. What else we have? We have Biden sniffing telling kids, I want to say one thing to your kids. I know you're really great ice cream place around here and daddy owes you. So talk to me afterwards. I don't know. We could play that clip.
I like that the veil is so completely lifted. Like 4 more years of Biden. Fuck it. Why not? Like, and after him, we need Fetterman and Lightfoot.
What do you think of the, all the indictments?
I don't know a whole lot about what's going on. So I've been kind of just focused on my new job and really been enjoying that. But obviously the left is going to make a martyr out of Trump. I don't know how much steam Trump still has left in the tank. You know, I mean, they're born to lose at this point, right? I mean, mail-in voting is here to stay, at least for the time being. There's no real major challenges to it. But, I mean, they're making him basically the de facto front runner. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's all just bullshit, right? Like, it's fucking just political.
I haven't looked at them in detail, but every single one of them is so flimsy. And the way that they kind of bootstrap an indictment onto a flimsy law that it's narrowly connected. The same arguments could literally be that everything they're doing to him is election interference. It's voter fraud by what they're doing, right? It's almost the exact argument of how flimsy that is. You can say that them bringing charges against him is exactly that. It's the same mentality. So I'm just not I don't know. I saw one of these, Charlie Kirk or one of these losers out there like doing a GoFundMe for one of these people that were associated with Trump. You know, the bad part is like his attorneys are being indicted with this too. I'm mixed. It's like, oh, well, it's an attorney being indicted, but it's also like, okay, well, if that's like saying, okay, Andy gets knocked, you know, he gets comes down with a charge for whatever, some criminal charge. And just by simply getting an attorney to defend him, you're then implicated. I mean, that's stupid. That's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah, but it's pure political theater, right? Like, this is a huge grift for both the left and the right. Like, this is just driving donor dollars, you know, and whipping up boomers who are too stupid to see it for what it really is. And, I mean, that's great for them. I'm not going to knock them. Get your bag. But I like, you know, that it's the pretenses are starting to be dropped, and I like that the boomer waffen are starting to be like, well, nothing is legitimate in this country anymore because that serves my goals, you know. Right. Even if the left is like you know, not, you know, when Trump was in office, they're like, it's not legitimate president. And I'm fine with them saying that and losing their minds. But the closer we get to division and separation from each other, the better.
Okay. I'm there with you. By the way, everyone, Fox and Sons coffee. Go get yourself.
What do you think about
a coffee?
Do you think this Hawaii thing?
I had clips for that. Thank you. Let's do that.
Does Fox and Sons get their coffee beans from Hawaii?
I don't think so, but probably not. What if you play this? It's a 3-minute video. Are you okay with a 3-minute video?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen this one, but this guy...
He's Chinese. Turn it off.
He's Chinese. He's Chinese, but he speaks English.
There's a lot to unpack, so try to keep up.
Oh. Okay.
Several wildfires have broken out on the island of Maui, creating mass devastation and destruction, most notably the town of Lahaina. This is not the people's fault, and our hearts go out to those affected. Why is Lahaina significant? It was once the capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii, prior to the forced U.S. annexation and the eventual move to Honolulu. Lahaina is filled with native property and business owners that have dug their heels in and have refused to sell their properties to conglomerates such as BlackRock, Vanguard, and Oprah.
But they vote Democrat every
prime
time.
Oceanfront property still owned and managed by the natives.
Let's pause this real quick. So, all these conglomerates, and Oprah. It always cracks me up. But... it's a very left island. So they're now being mistreated by everybody, I believe. Even the officials are screwing up. Biden's only getting them $700. And I don't know. Do we care about the complaints?
They get what they deserve for being commie browns. They vote Democrat over and over again. And I said a few years ago that Hawaii has a pretty strong secessionist movement, but they just bought into all the lefty propaganda, so they're going to continue to vote Democrat. And it's like the same shout out to the voiceover actor. Must have been hard to match it up that well. Hell yeah. I mean, these people do this to themselves in a lot of ways, so I don't feel too much sympathy for them.
Right. I get that. And look, the sympathy should be out to the people like me who like to go to Maui to vacation. Although I'll say, look, I've only been to Maui once. And we went there, my wife and I, and we decided we got to do the road to Hana or whatever it is. It's a trip around the island because everyone does it. And so we did it. And I'm like, okay, I've done it now. I never need to do this again. That is going to be interrupted if you go there. I don't think you're going to make it all the way around. It's perfectly fine for me. It's a stupid thing to do. Fuck you and your road to whatever, Hana. Okay, let's go back.
How did you feel about the people of Hawaii and your trip? What'd you think about him?
I tried to stick to the tourists there, Andy.
All right. So you were getting pampered.
Well, yeah. I stayed at a nice hotel and I'm trying to remember the name. It's over on the west side. Okay. Let's keep going.
So what caused this destruction? Short answer, no one knows. All government agencies, local and federal, have vehemently stated that it is unknown. However, there are two competing theories online. One, environmental, the perfect combination of a major hurricane 200 miles off the southern shore of Maui, combined with northern pressure to create mass.
It's glitching out. You're glitching out.
All right, it caught up.
Okay, let's keep playing it.
Massive dryness and winds. Or two, diabolical, something the conspiracy theorists call a DEW, direct energy weapon. What? I had the same response, so I started Googling. The first article that pops up when you Google Maui DEW is from Newsweek. It starts like this. The devastating wildfires in Hawaii have brought a new conspiracy theory from climate change deniers who suggest that the destruction was orchestrated by the federal government's direct energy weapons. Ugh. Anytime a propaganda media article starts with conspiracy theory by climate change deniers, makes me want to believe it more. Next article, fact checked, false. Wait, what? I thought the facts were unknown, but how can we rule out trending theories as impossible already? Joe Biden just announced that the federal government will provide aid to those that lost their homes. That means homeowners who lost their houses and properties can now loan money from the federal government at a low interest rate. your super valuable property that is skyrocketing in value, you can now get a new mortgage courtesy of Uncle Sam. There are also countless efforts by the people to send aid and support to devastated areas. This would be great, except local residents are now saying that they are having difficulty delivering such aid and only FEMA and Red Cross aid is being allowed in. Roadblocks everywhere. No one allowed in or out. And Maui is an island surrounded by water next to one of the largest U.S. military bases. Local residents are saying that they received no advanced warning and that they only evacuated once they saw the thick black smoke.
Islands are surrounded by water?
Why was the federal response?
Yeah, how far back? How delayed are you here?
It's kind of glitching out. I don't know if it's my internet or not, but this is funny. Keep going.
Okay. You're a little blurry on my side. So maybe it's, I don't know who it is. I'm looking up here. My thing says good connection. The kids aren't on the internet. So let's keep going.
So slow on this.
Almost done.
That's probably me.
Waiting until the fire had overtaken this area prior to action. I don't know what's going on in Maui. Our hearts go out to all those affected and we pray for your safety. But what I do know is that there are more questions than answers. And anytime that's the case, especially when global self-interest benefits and people suffer, well, you know, conspiracy theory.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have played that. What's interesting there is that he does this, and then there's, I hate the words like that and all the clipping. Why can't people just do one take? And anyway.
Because everybody has TikTok brain now. That's why.
No, it's not live.
But hey, you know what? You get what you deserve, Hawaii.
Yeah. So what have you heard? I avoid a lot of these things until my wife really pushes me to the point where I have to pay attention. So that was one of these. Like, oh, okay. So there was a fire. Okay. What? I don't know. We're not in Hawaii. I don't have any friends in Hawaii right now. So what's going on? I don't know. So what do you think about it? Is it the government? I mean, if you watch Top Lobster.
It was probably, all right, look, I'm glitching out real bad, so I don't know if this will go through. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is what they get for not making Dog the Bounty Hunter the king of Hawaii. All right. Some crackhead, meth, ice head, or whatever, local Hawaiian, some native Hawaiian who... probably thinks he deserves, you know, some entitled brown guy who's been told that he's entitled because he's brown, has some rightful claim to Hawaii, probably set the fire high on meth one night, and it was a big oopsie daisy. Like some of those California wildfires that are just started by homeless crackheads, you know what I mean?
Could be, but everyone's saying Oprah's going to buy up the land. So, I get it. So they like to throw BlackRock in now, because now the right wing jumps on this and is like, oh, BlackRock problem. Oh, we're all over this. When the reality is, these are a bunch of natives who haven't done much with their lives. They happen to live there, and they're not really helping their property values. But the property values are going up simply because they're next to a hotel that makes a lot of money. So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you haven't really you got pigs and chickens around your place. What do you want me to do about this?
They could do something about it. You know, people have done stuff like when this, you know, when you got people like this moving into your land, you know.
Right. Well, they didn't do anything about it because
they kept voting for them and they invited them in.
So. Yeah, they like the American dollar. So there you go. Okay. I think anything else you want to talk about today? I think we're done. Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Appreciate
you guys tuning in. I hate all of you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We didn't play a lot of, we didn't throw in a lot of, not Ron. Who's not Ron? But I appreciate you coming in. You had some good comments. Is Hawaii real? I don't know. I did like, what was the one? like this one, dupe, but the D is a J.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Don't let women psyop you into having empathy. I agree. So once again, people, if you like coffee, please go to Fox and Sons. I'm telling you, Andy, I've been thrilled that I get coffee bags and that I'm making coffee and that I absolutely love coffee. And that, I like this coffee too. I'm beyond belief about this whole thing. So what about you? What do you got going on?
As the most influential libertarian and way, and I have a much higher profile than anybody on Tower Gang. Just ask them, they'll tell you. You know, I should be getting floated bags of coffee at least and cream. Okay,
I'll take care of you. Have you watched Top Lobster's new show?
I have not.
Okay. He's basically a mini Eddie Bravo.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I haven't got through a single episode. I've tried three different ones. One is the big fat chick, and I'm like, it's not going to happen. First of all, it's a woman. I'm not going to pay attention. You don't start your show off with a woman as your guest. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what's happening. Unless she's showing her tits, it's just not going to be good. The next one was his cousin dressed up like what's the name from of Mice and Men, the one that snaps the necks off of the chicken or the bunnies, Lenny. So, and then today he had another one and I started it. And then I was like, you know what? I went over to Layton's show and started watching he and Adam Nutter talking about aliens. And I was enjoying it. I'll check it out at some point. God bless Top Lobster.
Here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do to, well, I was going to say this would drastically improve Top Show, but we need to just do this idea. Make a, like, you know, the whatever podcast that's got two groups of people on two sides of the table right there. Supposedly trad and the whores on the other side, but we need to do that, but with conspiracy. We need to get some conspiracy whores at the desk pulling their titties out and talking about Bigfoot and shit.
I'm bringing Barbie Benzo in as Poppy, as we call her, number one. She obviously thinks this Anthony's a psyop. Somehow she thinks Toad's a real person. And
if you're a hot chick who's been molested by an alien, please contact me.
Right, we got a class action lawsuit for you. The only defendant on all of this is just Toad for some reason.
Oh hell yeah, JC. The problem with last night's Twitter space is Andy wasn't the moderator. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that none of those people, with the exception of maybe Reed, have ever done a hard day's labor. They got soft hands, you know what I mean?
So what was interesting is, so it was supposed to be Jacob Winograd, Biblical Anarchy, and he didn't moderate anything. I think he's fine. He's humorous or whatever. He's not too extreme, and he's a good guy. But yeah, he didn't really moderate. And I will say this. So he wasn't really doing much. Kaufman was too autistic and probably drunk. Dave was really hostile, which was fine. Michael Heist just was boring me. Every time they came to him, he didn't really push back. He started talking like statistics, the LP side, and I'm just like, this isn't what I'm here for. Clint came on. He was fine. And then Josie, whatever, there was a bunch of losers. But I was a loser.
The only spaces I truly enjoy are, like, you follow Marcel, he's in some, like, pretty good, like, race realist and just, like, genetic spaces that are pretty interesting, and that's actually like intelligent and productive. And then just the shooting the shit with the boys, like libertarian politics, is I'm only there to laugh at them and make fun of them.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. JC says bring back trash talk. What was how are you doing with that over there on Odyssey?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to find time. I'm enjoying doing this too much, and we kind of got a good format. So I don't know. Trash talk may come back if I find the need to do it, but it was fun moderating. You know, I did Jose and Pulpo, and I had Connor, Natural Authority, on there. That was a good episode. And what else did I do?
Economics of Trash.
Did I moderate? I think I may have moderated another one between two people. I don't know. But
I think you did. So I always enjoyed it. But look, at this point, it's all no offense, but we're just taking it all under this umbrella. If you're going to do trash talk, you just do it here. It's a bigger audience anyway. And you could do a solo show if you want. I've tried to give you many times the ability to log in here to have any kind of access you want, but you're just such a piece of shit.
I am a piece of shit, but I'm starting to find my groove here, you know, especially starting working in shit. So
I'm proud of you for working. That's all. It's okay. Okay. So,
if I can find some people to grift off of and, you know, get them riled up and, you know, maybe raise some money for charity, I'd love to do that again. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Good point. Look, Andy, as always, it's my pleasure doing these. It's just you and I talking. By the way, I got hit up by one of our friends. He says, hey, can I come on with you Andy and Dickie just to shoot the shit. I've got, and then he started to describe how he's got a new headphones and mic or something like this. Any guesses as to who that might be?
P-Nord, let's go.
There you go. There's it's P-Nord. So I'm like, sure, why not? Well, you come on, I'll probably kick you off at some point, but yeah, absolutely. He's the only person that I know that hasn't tried to get back on Twitter. He's all over Facebook. I don't know.
I don't have a Facebook, so I'm immune to whatever he's got going on over there.
You don't have a Facebook? I swear to God, I was following you, and it was even over there on your GoFundMe. Who am I been talking to over there that's looking just like you?
I don't know. I don't know, Tyler. You better get your ducks in a row, though.
Mind to want Facebook, he wants to know
how's the new job. It's great, man. Out of the garbage truck, delivering liquor main now. But, you know, in still a lot of ways, taking out the trash, dealing with trash. But it's fun. I get to interact with people. I'm not in a hot truck for 12 hours a day. So yeah. I am in a hot truck unloading and shit. It's hard work, but. No, I enjoy it and getting to learn a lot, and looks like there's going to be quite a bit of room for advancement. So,
So Magoo wants to. He says, "Glad to hear P-Nord's check cleared." You know, P-Nord says he's been working a ton. So, you know, for all the shit that guy got, he at least is working. I mean, it took Andy a while. And by the way, I just want to reach out and say thank you to everyone that contributed to Andy's GoFundMe. Got him over to Tennessee. He's got a job now. His daughter's in school. We're very proud of you, Andy. I think you're somewhat of a drug addict. I'm not quite sure about what the status is there. But, you know, hey, yeah, we're happy for you there.
I can't afford to be a drug addict. That's the problem. I'd be an addict if I could.
I bet you'd find a dirty needle with some substance still left in it downtown. So you can get this thing going. Okay, there we go. Andy. You can pitch this right here. We're going to leave here in a second. I've said some people I think I want to have on the show. By the way, this is about podcast reviews. And go check out Lee. I don't know what his real name is. Lee Enfield, InBlock Press. He's been doing a podcast. He's got 3 episodes that are free out there. Very good. I enjoy it. It's more serious stuff. He talked about guns, Russia, Ukraine stuff. So it's a little bit more serious. It's not what it did with Polpo and Steppy and those guys. So, and Bert. But I would encourage you to go check him out. We do need to have him on the show.
Lee's the boy, and he's a sharp cat. And yeah, he's quick. He's quick-witted, and he can have fun. But he's pretty sharp and good on most things. So I fuck with Lee heavy. I'd definitely be down to have Lee on here.
Okay, let's do that. One of my most proud moments, I mean, the dude blocked me multiple times, and yet then he even came on the show. Now he follows me, and it's like, hey, persistence, people. And you don't have to do it in a stalking way. Somehow I want him back. So I don't know what happened.
Well, you are a gay Californian, so
thank you.
3 strikes against you out the gate. But Lee is an elite Twitter user, and so if you're not following him, I'm sure everybody here follows him, but.
Definitely. So he's one. We've tried to get McClanahan. I reached out to him. That's a no-go. Jeff Deist said he was coming on, and then he ghosted me. Nick Gillespie, we still need to get him going in here. Who else? We need to start getting some guests in here. Patrick McFarlane, he's going to come on. He just had a show doing some stuff about family law. I always cringe when people talk about this, but he did such a good job. I would encourage you, Andy, to go check it out.
Yeah, I need to check that out, and I need to check out Lee's, and when I'm driving, I'll start to get back into my groove of listening to podcasts and shit, seeing what's going on out there. Marcel would be a great guest.
Who the fuck is this? Bring the Kulak cat girl on the show?
Probably that chick from the whatever podcast. Yeah, we need slutty chicks who believe in aliens and ghosts. Like, the sluttier, the better.
We have Poppy in the chat. Why? I don't think we need to go any further.
Well, Poppy needs to be our madam to recruit other slutty chicks. So
that's true. That's true. I thought you were the person that would do that. Okay.
So that'll be our next. We'll talk to. We'll give relationship and dating advice. If you're dating aliens, illegal or not, you know, we're gonna put together a show. The next Kill Podcast. We'll see what we can do.
Yes, next Kill Podcast. I think we're going to, I think we got Brian McWilliams to come on. We just need to schedule it out. So give your plugs, Andy, and as the most influential libertarian, and then we'll head out for the weekend.
All right. Follow me at Liberty Lock Pod. I'm the most influential libertarian. You know, I would never do anything unoptical or, you know, mildly racist. Yeah. But that's why I have such a big following.
Right. Check me out, Tyler Yonke, on Twitter. We've got all our Andy stuff there. Andy and I, we're all everywhere. We got our Substack, a Rumble. Check us out. Share the show. Watch the Tom Woods 8-episode series. It's on our playlist. It's at its own thing. Check that out. All right. Thanks, Andy.
Later, y'all.
Okay, I'm leaving now. Bye, guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. And I guess that's me. Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast. I can't find it anywhere. And they don't have video.
Oh, yeah. Peter Janky. Yeah.
I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me,
he'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high tech for a boomer. But